Welcome to FPL 360. I'm Chuck Booth.
And I'm Sean Sullivan.
Today we're going to be talking about a brief review of last game week, going through a preview of this upcoming game week. Then we're going to have a nice discussion about the differences in official FPL and TAG of player value.
All right, I think we need to start things off with the fact that Manchester City are head and shoulders the best team in the Premier League, and I really don't see them dropping points at this pace. What do you think about their result at midweek?
Yeah, I honestly don't think it's much of a question that City's the best team. I actually expected if they were going to drop points that it was going to be in that midweek game, because you expect the team to come through, be a little leggy. And, like, Swansea has actually a pretty stout defensive game plan more games than not. Like, outside of their game that they lost 4-1 to United, they haven't lost a single game this year by more than two goals.
Well, Swansea's kind of – I'm kind of fascinated by them because they've been good on the road defensively but poor at home defensively, which is kind of something you don't see a lot.
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. But from their complete defensive gaffe on City's first goal, it was just like there were sharks in the water.
Yeah, when I sat down and went over the match, it kind of was just like it was inevitable City were going to win. It was just who those goals were going to come from and when they were going to come. They're just too tough to contain. And, they showed it in the derby. With help from two assists from Romelu Lukaku. But I digress. The biggest thing I took away from this game is that Manchester City has equal value pretty much across every fantasy format. Not that that's a surprise or anything, but I think that moving forward, regardless of the matchup, they're going to be matchup proof, and I think you definitely should invest in those guys.
Most definitely. If you're playing Taga and someone like, why am I blanking on his name? Bernardo Silva is actually playing. Like, you immediately want to go out and nab him.
The thing I've realized with City too, and it's kind of useful. It kind of goes with Arsenal as well. Anytime there's a gap in their attack or there is squad rotation, you're going to want to start whoever's starting, because worst case scenario, out of their attackers, they're going to get on the score sheet with an assist. I thought Bernardo Silva was really interesting and a really intriguing ad, and I actually mentioned him in my column last week, mainly just because he's only had three starts in the Premier League, so he was going to be itching to make his mark. He's been played in the Champions League, but he hasn't seen a ton of Premier League time. There's nothing better in FPL than banking on a player motivated to score and get forward on an attacking team that has, goals like stacks of potatoes. So, I was surprised that he already wasn't owned. I scooped him. I told people scoop him if he was available. I guess in terms of the Premier players, though, if you're going forward, if you're from an OFPL standpoint, who do you think's the guy you want to have over everyone else? I guess we can start from the midfield, because we could go on forever about the Jesus Aguero argument.
For me in the midfield, it's kind of a tie, so I'm cheating a little bit, because it's KDB and David Silva. Like, and as much as every year we say that, City's going to be moving on from David Silva, David Silva's going to take a step back, but he doesn't. He's just an ageless wonder at this point.
Yeah, and I think since he cut his hair, which the first time I saw him with that haircut, I was like, who is that in midfield? Because it looks like David Silva, but it also looks like a dude who's got his head shaved.
It's actually Pep out there.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wouldn't doubt it. Pep's kind of a wizard. He probably said, hey, look, you got a couple of choices. One of them is you keep playing for us and shave your head. The other one is to sell you when I bring in kind of anyone else. So, I like him personally. I was on the KDB train in the beginning of the season. I hopped off just because he's so expensive in OFPL. I mean, he's a 10 million midfielder, 10.2 right now, and he's owned by more than 20% of owners. So that's someone, you got him in your squad, you got to watch out when people go heavy on those fixtures and they captain him. I like Sterling. I'm thinking about bringing him in. He's had a hand on more than 30 goals this season, which is pretty remarkable for a guy who, you know, came in and was like, oh, what's going to go on with Sterling? What's he doing? But I think he's the guy to go out and add. I mean, at 8.3, it's good value. You got to worry about him being rotated with Sané, but Sterling's been in such good form, I don't see him getting dropped at this point.
All right. Do you have any other performances of note from the weekend?
So I was skeptical when Everton brought in Big Sam, but Everton has actually been pretty good since he came in. And one of the guys who I found extremely useful across both formats is Jonjo Kenny. He's gotten a couple clean sheets lately, and he's just somebody that you want to bring in because he's got low ownership in Saga. His ownership's going to start climbing in OFPL, but at this rate for an attacking fullback on an informed club, that's somebody I definitely like. They got a good matchup this week with Swansea. So he's someone who stood out. On the flip side, though, continuing on fullbacks, someone who's not doing so hot because he's been on the bench after his red card is Marvin Ziegler after his, you know, brief moment in the stardom.
I mean, with him, it's really been the entire Watford defense. There was FPL heartbreak everywhere as they went from having a clean sheet to being to allowing two goals to Crystal Palace after a very stupid Tom Cleverley red card and their third red card in four games, which these discipline issues have got to stop. Otherwise, the only person worth investing in on Watford is going to be Richarlison.
Yeah, and I mean, on top of that, you got Richarlison going off early with the injury, which I'm not sure about his status moving forward, but you think he's someone worth holding in OFPL, even if he misses out this weekend and potentially the following game week?
Yeah, I definitely do think he is, because one thing, the way I look at it with players like Richarlison is, does their price actually hinder me from making moves if I hold them? And Richarlison's currently at 6.6. So while he is like, he's not necessarily a cheap midfielder, he's not someone who you're going to be able to necessarily move out and get equal or better value without taking a hit somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, for the same price, I mean, he's priced up there. He's a little bit cheaper than Lanzini. He's a bit more expensive than Giroud and Shaqiri. But in both those cases, obviously, Williams only going to play when Chelsea rotate or there's injury. And Shaqiri, you never know because, you know, he's excellent some matches, and then other matches he kind of just checks out, gets subbed off, and then pouts like a little girl in the dugout.
Yeah, I can't really think of a better mid-tier midfielder than Richarlison.
Well, speaking of mid-tier midfielders, now I wouldn't... This is something for Taga owners to invest in, especially if you're looking for a midfielder who you can plug and play on a week-to-week basis when he's in the starting 11. I'm going to lead in. I'm going to let you take the reins for me on this, but your boy Eric Lamela is finally fit.
Yes, he is, and as a Spurs fan, I am very happy about this because Lamela brings just so many good qualities and a little petulance to the game. Like, he's going to get his share of assists, as is anyone that's playing in a lineup with Harry Kane, and like, it was interesting the way that Spurs actually deployed against Brighton, because they finally went with just four in the back, slightly because it was actually due to injuries and Davinson Sanchez's suspension, but that allowed Lamela to have the entire wing to himself, and while he didn't actually score, he came very close.
Yeah, I've always been a fan of Lamela, and like we were talking about with Manchester City, Tottenham has tons of goals in them, so anytime, you know, he's in the starting 11, you got the potential of at least a goal or an assist. somebody whose potential has gone from being a starter in the World Cup to somebody who I don't think is going to see the pitch for quite some time. Biggest faller is going to have to be my boy Joe Hart. He is no longer the number one at West Ham. He's lost out to Adrian, who we'll talk about a little bit later. But I was a huge fan of Joe Hart in the beginning of the season. I thought this is going to be the move where he kind of recaptures his form, helps West Ham, helps Slaven Bilic, and now we're 17 game weeks into the season, and Bilic and soon-to-be neither Joe Hart have a job. He's probably my biggest baller. You think he's going to work his way back in to the picture? You think he's going to get – I don't even know. He's on loan. You think he's going to be – I don't know. Getting water bottles for the rest of the club. What do you see him? What do you see his value as?
Looking at the fact that Joe Hart makes so many stupid mistakes that have led to West Ham being where they are, they really don't have enough room for error to justify starting Joe Hart again. Because being in a relegation battle, every goal matters, and right now, Adrian's saving them. Joe Hart was not. It's pretty simple.
Yeah, and it's funny because, you know, David Moyes comes in and it's like a very un-Moyes thing to do, you know, not start the English goalkeeper. But I think it was a move that was needed. And if you're playing in any sort of fantasy format and you've used Joe Hart as a starter in the last 10 game weeks, not sure why, but definitely get rid of him.
Or if you're still an Elliott owner.
Or if you're still not, or not that either of these hosts had both those goalkeepers for 3 weeks in OFPL.
I mean, I'm still an Elliott owner. I will admit that.
Well, the one thing, the interesting point though, with the price falling, one of them could be potentially a good number two goalkeeper if you're trying to shed money and make bank. But that's enough about Joe Hart. I just can't even.
Yeah, the
can't less we gave him that much time.
Let's say the less we talk about Joe Hart on this, the better.
Yeah. Someone else I wanted to point out before we get into the match previews, and mainly just because I want to give a heat check to anyone out there. Shinji Okazaki had an excellent brace and an assist, but I'm not sure if you're going to be getting this kind of production from him. Like, I know he's the second leading goal scorer on Leicester right now behind Jamie Vardy, but with the way Damari Gray's been playing and the formations that Claude Puyol's been trotting out, I don't really see Okazaki coming back in and being a lock on a, you know, match-to-match basis. What do you think about that? Do you think people jump on the train? Or
I mean, you can bring him into your team, but the issue with Okazaki is, like, he's at 5.4 right now. So he's fine being your third forward, but if you want your third forward to be actually useful and like someone that you can start, then there's better options out there, even in that price range.
I see him as, I mean, he's owned by 52%. He has 52% ownership in Taga, that places him, you know, right around the cusp of, you know, he's going to teeter right around after waivers. He's going to go up or down. He's definitely going to go up this week. But I think if he's available, he's a lot better option than other people just because he's produced when he's gotten minutes. I mean, he's got 6 goals and 1 assist on 13 shots on target, 10 chances created through 14 appearances, which is not bad for, you know, someone to have on the bench. The only problem is that you're going to need to have 2 other forwards to rely on. Because I just don't know if he's going to be – I don't know what Puyol is going to really want to do moving forward. I don't know how he fits into the scheme of things. He's a useful piece, but he's not someone who's going to be, okay, yeah, he's going to score a goal every match he plays. Just because I don't know if he's going to get enough opportunities to do that.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely fair.
So moving right along, Leicester City Crystal Palace. So that's the first match we're going to talk about this game week. What do you see in this? I mean, you got two teams coming in really good form. Why don't we stick with Leicester, since we were just talking about Okazaki?
Yeah, so with Leicester, I mean, everything starts with the red-hot Riyad Mahrez. Looking through his actual scoring stats, he's at 8.5. So he's not actually like at premium midfielder pricing. He's kind of in that like tier right below. But right now he's performing almost at premium midfielder performance. Like, he's scored at least 5 points in 4 straight games. And more importantly is he's also been in the bonus in 3 of his last 4 matches.
Yeah, I love Mahrez. I think he's extremely polarizing player, just because when he's on, he's on. When he's off, you know, I guess he's undroppable at this point right now. But I mean, I brought him in a couple weeks ago. He's been useful. I also picked up Damari Gray. I mean, outside of Mahrez, though, where do you see the best value in from a fantasy aspect in Leicester City against Palace?
I mean, it's going to definitely be Mahrez, Gray, and Jamie Vardy. Like, outside of that, I don't see very much. And actually, like, one person that I'm completely avoiding in this matchup even is Harry Maguire. Like, while his assist was for Okazaki's goal was taken as if he was a winger putting that ball into the box, he's been a complete boomer bust performer. And Leicester is not a team that can actually keep clean sheets. And due to that, since game week 12, Maguire has only scored more than 2 points twice.
Yeah, the other thing with Leicester is, I mean, they could have, if it wasn't for that Casper Schmeichel save on Charlie Austin, which I don't know how Austin didn't put that away. I mean, that's 2 goals that the entire direction of that match would have shifted. So I'd have to agree with you on that. The one guy that I personally do like, though, potentially could be worth a look in the Toga format, just based upon availability, Ben Chilwell. He's been getting a bunch of starts lately, and because he's classified as a defender, but he's been playing a little bit further up the pitch, he's going to benefit. If they do get a clean sheet bonus, he's going to get that scoop, but he's playing further up the pitch. I mean, he's not by all means an out-and-out winger, but based upon where he's playing, there is a little bit of hidden value there. And at 13% ownership, he's someone that can be pretty readily scooped.
Yep. So are you watching anyone on Crystal Palace now?
I mean, Palace are tricky because looking back at that Watford match, I mean, the stats are going to say that, oh, yeah, they had a real awesome day across the board. Problem being, that didn't really come until after Tom Cleverley's like Mr. Bean like red card, which, I mean, we do a whole podcast on like what's up with Tom Cleverley. But I mean, outside of Wilfred Zaha, I mean, he's the only really like must start in my opinion in OFPL.
I don't even agree with that.
Would you be starting Zaha if he's in your side? I mean, I'm assuming if he's in your side, you're probably going to be starting.
I mean, well, if he was in my side, I'd start him. The issue is I wouldn't bring him in my side because Roy Hodgson has destroyed Wilfred Zaha. Like, if Palace goes back to what they were doing when it was Zaha and Townsend as their two front men, sure, I'll start Zaha till the cows come home. But Zaha next to Benteke has sapped Zaha of all of his usefulness.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's more not who I'm going to use. It's more like, okay, worst case scenario, if I really needed to use someone in OFPL, I'd say Zaha. I'm not going to bring him in, though. Maybe Ruben Loftus-Cheek, just because of his price. He's been in my side for a bit.
I know he's in your side as well. I'd go Kabay.
Kabay?
Yeah, if I had to pick one person to bring in for this game.
Yeah, I mean, he's been on set piece duty too. So
exactly.
Get upside from there. But then again, Christian Benteke, I mean, I think I could probably score more goals than Christian Benteke at this point.
So we have Arsenal and Newcastle. Who are you watching for Arsenal?
I think Arsenal are going to have no trouble, because they need to get a result considering they've been hopped by Burnley and they're in 7th of the table right now. I'm saying you're trotting out, obviously, the big boys. You're trotting out Sanchez and Lacazette if you're in your side. I think they have a good shot at a clean sheet in this one. So I like their defenders. I personally am a fan of Klosinac because of his attacking upside. At 6.2, he's a more expensive defender. I guess maybe Bellerin. The problem with him, though, is there's limited. Even though he gets forward, he's really not that effective of a crosser. So you're really going to be banking for a clean sheet in that manner. Maybe Peter Cech, but I guess pretty much anybody you're owning for Arsenal, you're going to want to trot him out this week. But for bringing someone in, I mean, the only guys I would think about bringing in is Kolasinac if he's not already in your team. He's already owned by 15.5%, though, so it's by no means a differential play. I mean, I just think this game's going to be all Arsenal because they were pretty poor against West Ham at midweek, and they kind of need a result.
See, I actually think this is going to be an interesting game because we saw a triumphant return to health for Newcastle by their captain, Jamal Lascelles. And he's, first, he's a nice budget defender option at only being at 4.6. But more importantly, against a team like Arsenal, who Troy Deeney himself has pointed out very well that if you get physical with them, they're just going to fall. He's a monster in the air. And the one place where Newcastle is probably going to have the advantage is on set pieces, because Matt Ritchie has had some wicked deliveries this season, and Lascelles could be there to poke one home.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the other guy I'm thinking of, because I'm seeing, I mean, Ramsey has a chance to come back at the weekend, but it's not a definite.
Yeah, and given plays.
Yeah, given his injury history, they'll probably hold him out. I mean, Jack Wilshere, I'm not sure. I mean, I'm not going to go run to make my free transfer to bring him in. Then again, though, if you're trying to save some budget and looking for, like, a guy to use for 1 week, I mean, he's 5.4. He's owned by, you know, 0.2%. He potentially could be valuable, although that's kind of anticipating that he's able to get forward and Arsenal dominate the match, which, although I think they'll win, I don't think by any means it's going to be like a blowout. Like, I don't think Newcastle's just going to roll over.
Yeah, that's definitely fair.
So, I mean, what are you thinking if you were a betting man, what do you think the scoreline is going to look like?
Like, I guess 2-1 Arsenal.
Yeah, I could see that. Moving along to another matchup of somewhat surprising clubs. You got Burnley, sixth place Burnley, taking on Brighton. Now, I love Burnley. Big fan of Sean Dyche. We have the same first name. You think there's anything in this for Brighton? And are you going to be trotting out any of their guys in OFPL?
I mean, in this game, I honestly can see it ending in a hard-fought 0-0 draw. Especially due to the fact that Burnley has to travel to Brighton. So if I have a defender from either side, I'm playing them.
Yeah, I mean, Burnley's defense has been, I mean, they're always good. Kevin Long has been excellent, considering, you know, he's at 3.9 million. If you used him the last couple weeks, the only thing is Ben Mee has a chance to come back, and considering they're going to be traveling, I could see me coming right back into the side if he's fit. So, I mean, that's definitely a differential to exploit, and a great way to make some bank. So if me's held out, I definitely like Long. In terms of attacking options, I mean, it's kind of the Goodmunson Berg show now with Robbie Brady out. And I mean, I guess if you're looking for a punt, you could trot him out. He's at, you know, 5.0 million. But in terms of total value in this match, I just don't see a ton because I don't see massive goals on either side. I guess from Brighton side, Pascal Gross is going to be coming back.
Nope.
You don't think so?
I mean, well, I think he's going to come back. I'm just not not like going out of my way to play him.
So if you had to pick an attacking option from either side, then who would you say this is, you know, has the best chance of, you know, giving me an impactful amount of points this week?
I say none.
I
literally don't trust a single attacker in this game. Because, like, while Scott Arfield had a great game for Burnley, if Kurt Zuma doesn't get injured, Burnley doesn't score when Stoke.
Yeah, I mean, he has a goal and an assist in his last two starts since Brady's out, but I don't see him as a sustainable option.
No, not at all.
I mean, considering it's pretty much going to be on Goodmunson to be the architect of that offense, and then I guess if you want to look from the set-piece side, it's going to be somewhat of Goodmunson, but most likely Stephen Defer handling most of their corners and set-pieces. I mean, Arfield's kind of just like an afterthought right now.
Basically. And, like, while Pascal Gross has very high ownership, I really don't understand why anymore. Because, like, looking back at his last five games, he's brought in... So he had a 10-point match, followed by 5, then 3, 2, 2, and 1.
Personally, I have him in my side, and though I might be shedding him sometime soon, the way I kind of looked at it was, all right, for his cost, that team, whenever they create chances or score goals, it almost always goes through him. So, hypothetically speaking, in a match, if I think Brighton's going to score, I think it's going to go through him. That might just be how I look at things.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. I had him in my side at one point, and then I upgraded into Richarlison, and I haven't looked back, and I don't plan to.
Yeah. Well, speaking of not looking back, moving right along, Chelsea will take on Southampton, a club that is going to look to be a hell of a lot better than they were at the midweek. I like Chelsea in this. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say I think Chelsea are going to win.
That's a very strong limb to stand on there.
Yeah, take it to the bank, lock it, your mega lock, put the house on it. I think by saying that, I've guaranteed that Chelsea aren't going to win now. But from a fantasy standpoint, you see Southampton. I know we're both fans of Charlie Austin. Do you see anything in this match for them? I mean, are you going to run out and bring anyone in?
No. I do think Southampton scores a goal, and I think that that goal probably comes through Charlie Austin. That's really about all I've got from them.
Yeah, I mean, Austin, from watching that match, Austin actually didn't play that bad against Leicester. The rest of the team didn't really get the memo, though. He had a couple efforts that kind of drew saves out of Schmeichel, but he had to drop so deep to get the ball and get involved that it kind of rendered him useless. And then when they got their goal, it was just a scramble in the box. So I'd have to agree with that. I will not be touching Southampton this week. From a Chelsea standpoint, I mean, you're going to roll out the big guns. I like Hazard in this match, even though he's kind of been disappointing of late. I think Morata's going to get rested too, so I guess that puts Pedro in there. I mean, at 7.7 million, he's not a terrible option to bring in. But
I mean, Pedro and Willian.
Yeah, the thing is with them, though, and why I stayed away from them at midweek against Huddersfield Town, which I regret now, was that I would only want to bring in him with a guarantee of a goal, and obviously that's impossible, but if you bring him in, you know, you're probably going to take a hit because you're going to want to bring in someone else somewhere. So I guess if you brought him in, I would stick with probably Pedro has a better chance of retaining his place than Willian, though. What do you think?
I trust both of them as far as I can throw them, and that's why they won't be in my team. But lots of people had a lot of fun playing against dead teams that had Willian in the cup.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring that up, considering I don't know how I did all right. How'd you do in the cup?
I'm out.
Oh, you're out.
Yeah, I went against someone that captained KDB, and that was enough.
Yeah, I got lucky. I took a hit to bring in. I did a couple really smooth moves. I brought in Coutinho last week, then I took him out and brought in Salah this past week. I captained him, so even though I got the hit, brought in Adrian and Net, and it made up the differential. But enough talking about my shitty team back in Chelsea. Yeah, so I mean, I see this as definitely a Chelsea win. I think Southampton were so bad defensively that I could see Chelsea putting 3 or 4 goals in against them, considering Leicester absolutely annihilated them on the counter. And outside of that scramble goal, I mean, they looked better in the second half, but they're still susceptible pretty much to any piercing counterattacking move by Leicester City. So I'd say if you haven't brought in Hazard yet and you got banked to, this could be the weekend to bring him in and, you know, maybe even throw the captainship on him.
I don't like Eden Hazard if he's, like, actually... If Morata's not playing. Because it seems like there's no way in hell that Conte's actually going to bring in Michy Batshuayi to play in a proper forward role. And while Hazard is very good as a false nine or point forward, whatever you want to call that role, he's a facilitator.
My main thing I'm thinking of, if Southampton play like they did against Leicester City, the amount of time and space that Mahrez was afforded on the ball, I mean, it was atrocious. I mean, on his goal, he picked the ball up, he dribbled unchallenged from about 40 yards out to the edge of the box, and he just pinged one right in the bottom corner. So I could see Hazard maybe scoring a goal in a similar fashion.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's just tough after Chelsea scored 3, and while he had tons of hockey assists, he had nothing that was, like, legitimately on the score sheet.
Yeah, he would have had a day and he would have got a bunch of MLS assists.
Oh, yeah.
So, with that match out of the way...
You got the barn burner at Stoke West Ham.
Oh, yeah. I'm actually very excited for this match, mainly because no more Joe Hart at West Ham.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're an Adrian owner now, so...
Yeah, I am extremely pleased to have a goalkeeper who starts in place on my LFPL team after 2 weeks without one. I like him because, A, I think Adrian's a good goalkeeper. B, he does make mistakes, not as many as Joe Hart does, though. And most of all, he's an extremely affordable goalkeeper who starts at 4.3 million. So I brought him in last week. I'm glad I did. If you need a goalkeeper, I would definitely bring him in. Stoke City.
Exactly.
I was going to say something, but then I don't even. Peter Crouch.
I mean, he shouldn't start this game because usually Peter Crouch doesn't start 2 games in a row because he is ancient.
Yeah, from my experiences and what I've come across, it's probably pretty tough for a 36-year-old man to play 3 matches in 1 week.
Yeah. From Stoke, the only person that I would even potentially go out and get is Erik-Maxim Choupo-Moting. Because he's a 5.6 as a midfielder. At least got some rest during the midweek. And, like, did look like the most likely Stoke attacker to do something once Shaqiri went off.
Yeah, from what I was touching on that, Shaqiri is I don't even know what the word is. I mean, I have no. He's so good when his head's in the game, and he other times it just looks like he's not interested in playing.
Yeah, it's weird because at the end of their game against Spurs, like he basically his reactions were as if he checked out on the team.
Yeah, and then I want to say that was the match when he got subbed out and he was all pouty in the dugout.
Yep.
But then again, I could be mistaking that with every time he's ever been subbed out since he came to Stoke.
Yeah, and I mean, it's like, it's fine for you to not like being subbed out, but to make statements that are basically suggesting that you're quitting on your team is a different story.
Yeah, and I mean, he's by far, I think, the most talented player on that team, but it's not really conducive for a club that's like middle of the table. I'm surprised he's been there for that long, to be honest.
Yeah, it's always funny though, because like if you like look at Shaqiri's career in reverse, it looks great as opposed to what's actually happened. Because like, starts out at a young kid as a young kid at Basel, moves to Bayern Munich, moves to Inter Milan, and then comes to Stoke.
Yeah, it's kind of it's pretty crazy actually. That I'm
quite
about
quite
it.
The career arc.
Yeah, and I mean, speaking of career arcs, another week goes by where my boy Andy Carroll is irrelevant.
And yeah, he's useless.
Yeah, he's, you know, every season I think, you know, come on, Andy, you can do it. Like, this is the year Carroll's going to play more than 2,500 minutes, and every year it doesn't happen.
David Moyes, without Chicharito, has now decided to opt with the no-forwards formation.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good point. I mean, Mikel Antonio, at any week, he can be playing as a fullback. He can be playing in midfield. He could be spearheading the attack. I like him as a player, although I probably like him better if you play in a draft format of fantasy where you get peripheral stats awarded, just because the uncertainty of where he's going to be playing.
Yeah, I'm not touching him in FPL.
Yeah, but I think we pretty much
we've already said way too much about that game.
Yeah, people are going to want a refund after listening to this.
But we've got the fun Watford-Huddersfield game up next.
Yeah, from Watford.
Who's healthy?
That's a good question. Not that many players. I mean, you got Richarlison is in doubt. And considering he's, like, by far their best player, if he's not 100%, he's not going to play. Cleverly suspended. Will Hughes is hurt.
I'm sure like half the team suspended at this point, right?
Yeah, so I was thinking, like, okay, where's somewhere I could, you know, maybe chop some dollars and bring somebody in? But then again, Huddersfield is, like, they're, you never know what you're going to get. You never know what you're going to get from them. And with so many people out in Watford, I really don't like anybody on their side.
Funny thing is just that Huddersfield's terrible away.
Yeah, they've been pretty bad away, but at the same time, like, there's something to be said for how bad of a loss that was last week for Watford.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you basically pinned me and said it was life or death and to live, I had to take someone from Watford, I guess it's Troy Deeney.
I mean, there's also Decore, but
I mean, he's hot and cold.
Yeah, I mean, just because he scored a bunch of goals, he's owned by 15.8%.
Yeah, he's scored and he's a cheap midfielder. That's really about it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you're in the mood for a punt, maybe Etienne Capoue comes back into the side with all the injuries and stuff. Maybe he pokes in a goal. He's, you know, 4.9 million.
And people remember his dream run to begin last season.
Well, yeah, it's weird. It's almost like Decore decided that he was going to wear, you know, become Capoue from last season. But, in terms of injury front, I know Isaac's success is going to be back in the picture, but
oh, that's a wonderful boost.
Yeah, but, I mean, most people are not going to I don't know many people who are on the success train. What about on Huddersfield? Do you see anything from any Terriers with value? I think it was a rhetorical question almost.
I mean, again, riding the budget forward train and saying, like, hopefully Steve Mounier does something. There's really nothing else.
If I had a dollar for every time I'm like, this, he's going to that guy is so much talent, and it's just not working this season. I mean, he's got four goals over two games.
Yeah, I mean, I'm writing a good bit of it off to his injury and, like, being brought back from it slowly. But, like, once he's, like, played in more than, in, like, five straight games for them, if I'm not seeing any returns from him, then, like, I'm officially going to have to shut down that optimism.
Yeah, I mean, he came into the season from a, you know, peripheral statistics point. You're like, okay, this is the kind of guy that can flourish in the Premier League. He's going to have kind of volatile value in OFPL. He's going to have good value in, you know, draft leagues where, you know, aerials won and such get awarded. So, yeah, I mean, I feel like it's too soon to make a call on him, but I think it's, I don't know about this week. Yeah, I mean, if I had to pick someone, it would probably be him, though, from what I've seen.
Yeah, I mean, it's not... Not no great choices really there at all.
Yeah. All right. Moving right along. Who we got next on the slate?
Next up is West Brom and your team, Manchester United.
This has like not an enjoyable match for me written all over it.
You said a 1-1 draw?
Yeah, or maybe I'm seeing it right now. 1-1 draw. It's going to be like a Chris Smalling header. And then, like, a Chris Brunt free kick that deflects off the side of Lindelof's forehead and goes in our own goal. I just have a Derby hangover still.
I was going to say, stranger things have happened.
Yeah, I got a Derby hangover. It's clouding my judgment. I guess from West Brom's side, I'm going to stay away from them just because I just don't trust them against Manchester United, and I don't really trust them on a weekly basis. I guess Ben Foster in goal, he's going to be called upon a bunch. But I think there's equal chance that he concedes three or four as he does, you know, gets a clean sheet. And I think there's an extremely high chance that he concedes. So,
yeah, it's like the one thing you used to be able to trust is the West Ham defense. I mean, West Brom defense. But West, like, Brom, yeah. Now you can't even trust that. So it's like, I don't see any true worth on their side. At least for United, like, I'm all in on Antonio Valencia, the highest scoring defender in OFPL right now.
Arguably the best right back in the Premier League.
Yep, only Kyle Walker can have an argument against that right now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, West Brom looked a lot better against Liverpool. But I just don't know. I don't trust them at all.
Yeah, and also, like, you always have to assume that Mourinho's going to have a better game plan for someone than Klopp does.
Yeah. And, I mean, they had the rightfully disallowed goal, too.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's the West Brom. It's pretty much, you got Ben Foster in goal. I guess you're rolling him out if you have another keeper that's just a dead spot on your bench.
Yeah, and with United, you're playing the entire defense if you have them already. You're playing De Gea because he's been basically, in points per million, like the best player in OFPL this season. And if you're someone that still owns Lukaku, you're playing him.
Yeah, De Gea has been absolutely phenomenal. He's almost been playing too well because I'm really starting to get hesitant that the Real Madrid bullies are going to come around and try and steal him like they do every summer. But he's been absolutely lights out.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much, you know, I don't think it's going to come as a surprise that Manchester United is a favorite against West Brom.
Not at all, even though it is at the Hawthorns.
Yeah, well, as I say, this would be a whole nother animal if my boy Tony P was still in charge, but the Tony P days are done.
Yep. They want to play exciting attacking football now.
Speaking of exciting attacking football, well, used to play exciting attacking football, Bournemouth, Liverpool.
this game literally could go anywhere from being like a 4-5 thriller or just a 0-0 draw with like everyone just skying all their shots over the crossbar.
Yeah, I mean, you have Klopp versus Howe, and yeah, you got two guys who don't really know, two guys that don't really value playing playing defense, which is totally fine by me from a viewing standpoint, from a fantasy standpoint. I think that, I mean, I guess people are going to like Charlie Daniels because his attacking potential.
I shipped him out this week.
You shipped him out this week. He's not in my team. I mean, he's the most owned player on Bournemouth by quite a lot.
I mean, for good reason, because he has been pretty good this season. It's just the Bournemouth slate coming up is not great. And
not great. I mean, they could potentially concede 10 goals over these next two matches.
Yeah, and like, and for the most part, you're not playing your defenders against Liverpool anyway.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that West Brom got the clean sheet last week, I mean, that's an anomaly.
Most definitely.
Yeah. I guess before we get into what we think about Liverpool, I mean, if you're going to, I mean, I just, the problem is, like, you know, I think this is the kind of game where Defoe could pop up again, but for 7.6 million, I don't want him in my team.
Yeah, it's like, I kind of felt the same way about Josh King, because, like, if there's a team for you to score against and, like, break out of your slump, it's Liverpool. Mm. But, like, I'm not paying 7 million for, like, a punt third forward.
Yeah, exactly, because, yeah, I mean, King 7 million, Defoe 7.6. I'm a big fan of Benikofobi, but he's not really in the picture.
Right, I mean, now, Andrew Sermon could be like an option to have on your bench as a sub if someone doesn't play, because he actually has been relatively consistent and is only at 4.8.
I like Sermon, but I like him as, yeah, I guess as a bench guy. I mean, yeah, he's had 10 points against Brighton. Let's see if we can spot the trend. 10 points against Brighton, 9 points against Stoke, 5 against Newcastle, 6 against Huddersfield, 7 against Southampton, 5 against Crystal Palace.
Sounds like someone feeding on the bottom of the league.
Yeah, I was going to say. And then across, you know, the teams right now in the top half of the table, he doesn't have more than 2 points against any of them. So, I don't know. I mean, he's a good bench value, as you were saying.
Yeah, that's about it, though.
But I don't think this is a week where you can get away with him in your starting 11.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really think you can get away with anyone on Bournemouth in your starting 11 this week, just because there's always massacre potential when you're playing Liverpool.
Speaking of massacre potential, so you got Coutinho and Salah. Who you like more this week?
Well, I own one and I don't own the other, slightly due to stubbornness, but I am seriously considering putting my armband on Coutinho, so I've got to go with Coutinho.
Yeah, so see, I own Salah, and I will be captaining Salah, so this will be a nice little see who does better. I had Coutinho, and then, you know, being the genius I am, transferred him out last week to bring in Salah. So I missed the spoils, but I have a feeling Salah is going to just do Salah this week. I mean, I think both these guys are involved. I wouldn't be surprised if each of them have a goal.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's very easy for both of them to get involved, especially since they could very easily just be assisting each other for the whole game.
Yeah, and Coutinho, I mean, that guy is just so good. I saw a clip of him dancing around on the sidelines from midweek, and I mean, he's just like, he's like flash with the ball.
And with the injury to Morata, if you have to get him out to play a second forward this week, there's much worse options than bringing in Firmino.
Yeah, it's funny. I feel like Firmino kind of gets not forgotten, but it's just been so, you know, who do you have in your team, Salah or Coutinho, that we, you know, people forget that that Firmino is quite a good footballer. I mean, he's only scored 2 goals in his last, you know, 7 or 8 matches, though. That's the only thing.
Firmino's actually the second most selected player on Liverpool behind Salah.
Yeah, I mean, he's only scored 2 goals in his last 6 appearances, though.
I mean, you're not wrong, and both of those goals came in the same game, I believe.
Yeah, and when they beat Brighton. When they beat Brighton and Hove Albion, who struggle against the big sides.
Yeah, it's
yeah. But I don't know. Like you said, I mean, you could do much worse than him this week. What about the guys? You know, a little bit lower priced. I mean, do you like any Liverpool defenders this week?
I mean, I don't like Liverpool defenders any week, and I'm not going to start liking them now.
Let's see. What about if... What about Mane? What do you think about Mane?
My big issue with Mane is, like, Klopp does seem to have some grand rotation scheme, and since... literally all 4 of Salah, Firmino, Coutinho, and Mane played during the midweek, I think one of them's probably getting dropped this weekend, and money's on Mane.
I see what you did there. So he's not going to show me the Mane when the starting 11 comes out?
Nah, you're going to see Oxlade-Chamberlain more likely than not.
Ox.
And I'm not transferring Oxen for this game.
Yeah, I wasn't gonna say it. I was gonna let you take the honors with that. Oxlade-Chamberlain is, I have some stock in him in draft leagues I play in, and Taga has some stock in him, but he's too expensive to have on your bench.
Yeah,
5.6 million for FBL. So I mean, I think we agree there's gonna be goals. I'm excited to watch this match. Hopefully there's minimal defense and it's all out attacking and we both get some solid green arrows this week.
That would be very welcome.
Yeah. All right. Who we got next up?
Next we've got Everton Swansea.
I like this match a lot for Everton.
Wayne Rooney's keeping the clock turned back?
So I don't know how many people out there have this rule of thought. I've just had it. I haven't had Rooney in my team. I don't think I'm going to be bringing him in. I don't know what it is. Wayno, I mean, he's been pretty solid on and off. I mean, he's been killing it the last 4 games. He's got 5 goals, but I don't know. Are you buying the Rooney hype right now?
I mean, I have stock in Everton forwards. It's just not in Rooney.
I think we both own the guy you're about to mention.
I believe we do as well. Like, I wouldn't be opposed to bringing in Rooney, but I'm not going to own 2 Everton forwards, and if I need to own one, it's Dominic Calvert-Lewin, who's fit for a Big Sam special of just lumping the ball forward and hoping your forward can get to it.
Yeah, so you brought this to my attention a couple weeks ago when I brought him in. It just makes so much sense to have him as your third forward because, you know, 5.3 million, I mean, it frees up bank. And he's also, you know, he's also quite good when he sees enough of the ball up top. Swansea are 20th in the Premier League. They are not a very good team. Paul Clement is on the chopping block. And I could see this being a good match for everyone on Everton. Looking at the guys who are a little bit higher priced to go back up, what do you think about Sigurdsson? 8 million too much?
I'm torn on him. Because actually, when Pogba got suspended, my big choice was between Sigurdsson and Mahrez. And like, for the extra 0.4, you can get a lot more production.
Yeah, I mean, I like Sigurdsson. I have him in one of my OFPL draft leagues, so I've been reaping the rewards lately, but he is not in my regular budget side.
Yeah, like, he's useful. He's just not useful enough to actually bring in for OFPL right now.
Yeah, and I mean, he's just, depending upon when kind of Big Sam decides how he's going to, you know, play his side the rest of the season, where Sigurdsson's lining up is kind of going to depend upon his value, too.
I mean, once Yannick Bolasie's back, then I'll buy some Sigurdsson stock.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, moving right along, when do you think, I know he played for the under-23s this week, you want to wait until Bolasie is fully fit and gets a match under him to potentially bring him in, or are you thinking about maybe adding and stashing him on a win?
I mean, I don't really know if I legitimately bring him personally in. I just think that once he comes back, he opens up the rest of the Everton attack because there's no more Aaron Lennon.
Yeah, he's, I was going to say, Lennon had a, Lennon's been back in the side. I think he had an assist last week. Yes, he did. But I mean, he doesn't even play. He usually doesn't even get a full 90. One of the guys I do like, though, who will get a full 90, who's been absolutely killing it lately, Jonjo Kenny.
The budget defender of the week.
Yes. I brought him in, I think, after game week 14, after he had the big day against West Ham. He's had 5, 2, and 6, 2 clean sheets in his last 3 matches. There's talk of him getting a new contract, talk of that being the first move that Sam Allardyce locks down. Do you like him? Is he in your side? You think he's worth bringing in?
I mean, I brought him in for Charlie Daniels because that frees up some space for potentially making some moves next week. I would recommend for Charlie Daniels owners to do that swap as well.
Yeah, I mean, they got Swansea this week, then they got Chelsea at West Brom, at Bournemouth. So, I mean, it's not a terrible chunk of matches. They got a rough run to begin January with United and Spurs, but I like him for, like, definitely for a short-term pickup.
Yeah, and I mean, and at worst, even if you need to sit him, that's your fifth defender.
Yeah, I was going to say he's cost-effective, and the other guy I was thinking about, I mean, it's obviously not as much of a guarantee. He's only, you know, 4.3, he's, you know, 0.1 cheaper. Cuco Martina, he was arguably in the derby, even though he was at fault on the Mo Salah goal. He had more clearances and more tackles than anyone else in that Everton back line.
Well, it's actually funny because, like, right now, the Everton back line is just chock full of budget options. Because then you also have Mason Holgate starting at center back at 4.2.
Yeah. I was going to say, so Everton is, I guess if I had to look at a defense this week, I would definitely look at Everton. I mean, they're in form, and I mean, I guess Ashley Williams, I mean, at 5.2, he's not even a terrible option either. It's not even that expensive.
Yep.
Considering he's got the aerial prowess. And then Michael Keane has gone from being the rock of Burnley's back line to being replaced there by Kevin Long when Ben Mee goes out, and now he's on the bench at Everton.
I mean, once Keane's fully healthy, like, he would probably be the guy from the Everton backline that I'd want to own, especially since with his injury, he's now falling back down to probably what his price range should have been at the beginning of the season at 5.3 right now.
Yeah, I was going to say he started at 5.5, which, I mean, it's not massive, but that's pretty much decides, okay, how are you going to price your midfield with that extra 0.2 million?
Yeah, like, it makes a difference.
But yeah, I mean, so I don't, but I guess we should mention Swansea.
I mean, you've got Fabianski.
Yeah, Fabianski. I mean, Kyle Naughton's popular just because he's 4.6 million. Selected by 6.1%.
Really about it?
Yeah, I mean,
like, I guess some people still have Tammy as their third forward, but he's got a little too expensive for that for my liking at 5.8.
So now we're moving on to the premier match of the week with your Spurs taking on Manchester City.
Yep. I'm so excited for this game.
What do you... I want to.
I don't
say,
know,
do you,
man.
I was gonna say, what do you? I was gonna say, what do you think is gonna happen? But from your reaction, I think
it's at this point, like, we're going to the Etihad. Like, you go in and you hope for a draw. Now, like, I don't think no team in the league can walk into City's house and expect to win.
Yeah, I was watching the Manchester Derby at a bar last week in New York. And it was just, it was disheartening to realize just, I mean, obviously we knew how good they were, but they were just clearly the better side at Old Trafford nonetheless. So, I don't know, it's going to be, it's a tough sell for me to put my money on Spurs this week.
I mean, luckily, like, Spurs have went into Real Madrid and gotten a point. So, like, they have gotten a taste of completely hostile environments, but like, City's basically on par with Real's normal performances. Like, it's, they're that good right now.
Well, that's what I was about to say. I mean, Manchester City are just, it is as annoying as it is frustrating, especially being a Manchester United fan, with how good they are. Because I kind of had been, I went on a show last week and I was like, yeah, Manchester United's got this. And then just Manchester City are just too good. They have too much attacking firepower. And then when it comes down to it, they have, there's so much belief in that team.
Yeah, it's the crazy thing is it's they walk in knowing they're going to win. But then they're driven enough to just ensure the result, and slaughter teams. Like, once they get one goal, it's not just like, okay, we're good. It's, okay, when are we going to get the next one?
I mean, they scored 52 goals through 17 matches. They're on pace to score, you think, with the math. I mean, they're on pace to score, like...
A lot of goals.
A lot of goals.
I know they're... I want to say that they're on pace for... It's 102 points over the course of the season. Like...
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and I mean, on top of that... I mean, I guess we're getting a little bit away from the preview, but... I guess it's to circle back. So, being a Spurs supporter, if you had to say, all right, this is how Tottenham... one, if they win, what would you say it would be?
I mean, we're lining up with five at the back, essentially, and we're hoping that we can counter them to death. Obviously, like, the weak link in City's lineup is whenever they have Delph at left back. So you try to attack the left side of the field. The issue is the fact that City knows that that's their weak point, so they have zonal pressure to keep you from getting there.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's what I would look at. I mean, maybe through set pieces, too. I know West Ham exploited them with set pieces.
Yeah, the issue is Spurs really aren't a very good set-piece team without Toby.
Yeah, I was going to say. I mean, you're going to get a fresh Eriksen, but... fresh Dele, right? He was rested at midweek.
Yeah, but, and it's, I'm not sure that's enough to really help against City.
Yeah, I mean, from a fantasy standpoint, I'm considering bringing in Sterling, because I've been looking to bring him in for a while. I got money saved. Is there anybody you would bring in from either of these teams for this week? Well, I mean, everyone's going to roll with Kane if you got Kane.
Yeah, I'm already an Otamendi owner, and like, even though I don't think City keeps a clean sheet, I'm still starting Otamendi because he's just an expensive defender, he gets bonus points, and he's ridiculous on set pieces.
Yeah.
But
I think he's... take a quick peek here. He's with his bonus. He's been killing with the bonus points. He's got 378 right now.
Yeah, it's literally insane. But like, really, you're looking at a Kyle Walker revenge game.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's kind of it's funny. I'm looking at the press kind of ahead of it. I mean, it's funny with the with the fixture congestion, but that's kind of, I feel like, flying under the radar somewhat.
Well, and especially you're also getting a fresh Kyle Walker for this game, because he got only his second match off for this entire season in their win against Swansea. So he's going to be raring to go to face his old team and show them what they didn't award a contract to.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I have enough faith to, on a limb, bring him in just because he's so expensive.
I mean, I'm not saying I'm necessarily bringing him in this week, because you kind of have to do some interesting roster mechanics to do it. It's just, this is definitely a game where I would not be surprised to see him at least collect an assist.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. So, I mean, you're gonna roll with him, but I wouldn't transfer him out if you were looking to free up.
Yeah,
part of your back line.
Yeah, and I mean, 14% of teams are already rolling with him.
Yeah. Yeah, no. So, I mean, I think you're gonna hate to hear it, but I don't see points in this for Tottenham. I see it being a close game. I see it being probably 1-0, 2-1 for the majority of the game, but I could see the final scoreline being maybe 3-1.
Yeah, I mean, I unfortunately have to agree, as much as I don't want to.
Yeah, because, I mean, thinking about it from how they're going to win, I don't even really know. I don't even really have three bullet points as to, okay, if Tottenham does this, that, and this goes their way. I don't even really know where to look. The City are just that good.
Yeah, I mean, it's literally just like, you have to hope that you can counter and actually contain them. So, like, it's basically, can Spurs magically be healthy overnight? Then we might be okay.
Yeah, and it's, looking back, like, looking ahead, I just don't see where City are going to drop these magical points to allow United to sneak back in the title race.
They're not. That's the thing.
Yeah, I mean, looking at their fixtures for the rest of the season, right? Okay, so you have back-to-back matches, Arsenal and Chelsea in February, and then Manchester United and Spurs in April. So maybe they drop a point, 2 points out of those four matches. But that's still not enough for anyone to sneak in the pace.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Yeah.
Although, you never know. It's the Premier League. We can only hope.
One of their forwards gets injured, and then they only have one forward for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I was going to say. And then next thing you know, Pep's using Yaya Toure as a center forward, and he's scoring 15 goals.
Yep, that's really about it.
Yeah. All right, well... That's our take for game week 17. But
so now we're gonna go into our specific predictions for this match week. You want to lead?
Yeah, I'm gonna start off with Jonjo Kenny. Everton's gonna get a clean sheet, and I think Jonjo Kenny's gonna get a bonus point. So what? That's gonna put him up around 8-9 points this weekend. I don't think Swansea are going to have enough to get past Everton. Everton are in great form. And I've been rolling with Kenny, so I'm going to go with Jonjo Kenny as definitely the guy to bring in this week as a defender.
I'm going to go a little bigger with my specific prediction. And I'm going to say that we're going to see the last of Mark Hughes at Stoke City this weekend.
Ooh.
Because losing to the dysfunctional mess that is West Ham, if that's not enough to get Mark Hughes fired, I don't know what is.
You do know that West Ham looked pretty good against Chelsea and Arsenal, though.
I'm aware of this, but it's still David Moyes' West Ham team, and the the fact that Mark Hughes still has a job right now with the managers that have been fired completely baffles me.
Okay, so I guess what the other thing I was thinking of, but I guess this is, I mean, you hit it right in the head. So you think Hughes will get fired before Paul Clement does?
Yes.
Okay. All right, I'll have to write that down. We'll make a note of that.
Yeah, like, I don't think Clement's leash is very long, but he's saved by the fact that Swansea has a good defensive record. Like, you can convince me that if Swansea brings in a few attacking options in January, that they can actually make some noise. West Ham, even with their 4 points in their last two games, they're still in the relegation zone below Crystal Palace.
And yeah, which is
Stoke is only 2 points away from safety. If Stoke goes into the relegation zone, there's nothing you can do to really save Mark Hughes.
Yeah, I mean, they're West Ham, Crystal Palace, West Brom, they're all on 14 points. That's 19th through 17th, so yeah, I mean, Stoke have been very bad. The other specific prediction I'm going to roll with no Robbie Brady, Johan Gudmundsen-Berg is now the chief architect of that Burnley attack. I'm going to go with Berg getting a goal this weekend. I think, not sure how it's going to come, but Burnley are going to beat Brighton, and he's going to be the creator. He's been whipping in a ton of crosses. He's been doing well with the assists, but I think he's going to get on the score sheet this week.
And I'd like to close by saying that Watford is going to finish their first match in 4 weeks with all 11 men on the field.
Ooh, the hottest take of them all.
Which is unfortunate because it really shouldn't be a hot take.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Marco Silva is a great manager, but apparently the discipline issues is something he not too good at handling. All right, well, with that said, this is FPL 360. Sean Sullivan.
I'm Chuck Booth. Thanks for listening to us. Sean, thanks for taking multiple hours out of your day to talk to me.
Of course, and best of luck with the Green Arrow.